back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. I'm coming off. I feel like I've been playing for the Phillies the past week because I'm coming off my third game in 4 days that I attended last night. I went to both games on Saturday and Sunday this past weekend where they split. They won against the Reds in a walk-off single on Saturday, which was hype. And then they lose on Sunday on a terrible top of the ninth inning. And then they lose yesterday to the Marlins. Just a rough game. And I may be one of the select few people in existence right now that attended a dollar dog night and did not eat a hot dog, because last night at the ballpark, it was so crowded that every line must have been about halfway around the ballpark, no matter if it was the concourse or second level, third level, fourth level, everything was just crowded. It was a sellout game, I'm pretty sure. It was dollar dog night, and it was also Greek night for fraternities and sororities from surrounding areas. Mm. So a perfect storm to, not get any sort of – I waited in line for 15 minutes or so for – I got a beer bat, which is sick.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that was my – I think that's the least amount of money I'll probably ever spend at a Phillies game. So even with dollar hot dogs.
Now, with this beer bat, do you get to pick what beer goes in said beer bat?
So they only had two options, which I wasn't really I wasn't thrilled about, but I was like, meh, as long as I get the bat, that's all that really matters. But it was no free ads. It was Goose Island IPA or the Goose Island 312 Shandy. And I got the Shandy. I'm not a big IPA guy, but the Shandy was very good. And it was very awkward because luckily no one was in front of me, in the seat in front of me. So every time I drank out of the bat, I had to tip it up into the seat. And it would have been knocking someone in the back of the head every time I tried to drink out of it. Cause it was obviously, it's a baseball bat, a wiffle ball bat sort of thing. So it's obviously not just tipping a can back or a cup back. So
I assume you kept the beer bat.
Oh yeah, I won't disclose how much it cost. It was similar. I will say it was similar to the price that you would pay to get one online. But technically, I also got a quote unquote free beer with it. So, I'm happy with my purchase. I was hoping that Citizens Bank Park would have something like that, because I've seen it in other stadiums, mainly minor league or. I'm trying to think. I think the Cubs are introducing them. The Cubs ones, I tell you, I will not pay for one of those because of how expensive they are. But the Phillies one, I was like, you know what? A one-time deal. I can say, hey, I'm the proud owner of a beer bat, which I can drink from in the comfort of my own home now. And, it's just one of those, it's a very interesting sports memorabilia item to have.
I'm thinking I might have to buy one when I'm at the game in a couple of weeks, just so I can bring it with me down to vacation in the Outer Banks.
And June. I will say too, I did my due diligence, and when I went to the game on Saturday, I didn't know they had them. But then I went to the game on Sunday. Oh, actually, no, I did know they had them on Saturday. Went to the location and where they were sold out. And then same thing happened on Sunday.
So limited quantities of beer bats.
Yeah. We'll disclose information to each other over
off
text.
The airwaves.
Yeah, yes. We don't want this getting out because the beer bats are for special people. I'm just kidding. but no, I'll shoot you a text after this and let you know where I found them. But for everyone else, it's like an Easter egg hunt. You find the beer bat and you get a beer. So
yeah,
there you go. But no, it was a great weekend of sports. Not a good way to end my Sunday with the Flyers game. I did a doubleheader on Sunday. And this is obviously a bittersweet episode for us because it is our in memoriam for the 2022-23 Flyers regular season, as they only have their last game is tomorrow night in Chicago against the Blackhawks. So, Dave, with that being said, I'll give you the talking stick here. And I guess, would you like to do Flyers Week in Review first, or do we just dive right in and complain about this season?
I mean, I guess we can just dive right in. I mean, Week in Review is pretty much they lost every single game that they could have played or that they have played since we last recorded. They lost what we recorded last Tuesday, so they lost while we were recording 4-2 to the St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. Then they lost 4-1 last Thursday to the Dallas Stars. Then they got shut out Friday evening, and Carter Hart got pulled in a 4-0 loss to the New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. They come home Sunday, on Easter Sunday, in a game that was back and forth and tight for just a little bit, but they lose 5-3 to Boston. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, they did not lose last night. Last night they went down 2-0 early, but battled back thanks to Owen Tippett getting a goal. They won in overtime. They beat the mm-hmm. Columbus Blue Jackets. So with that being said, of course, their last game is tomorrow evening.
Could I say one thing quick?
Yes.
So I had – it felt like deja vu because I was obviously at the game on Sunday against the Bruins, and holy hell, let me tell you, it was like Philadelphia TD Garden in there again. Like, it's the second game I've been to this season, obviously, where I was at the Rangers one after the playoff game when it was a Rangers fan takeover. And on Sunday, it was a Bruins fan takeover. They literally were they were chanting, "We want the cup," at the end of the game as they were, like, seconds away from, like, celebrating the single-season wins record. Pasternak had his fourth hat trick against the Flyers in just 27 career games against them.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, only against the Flyers. But, no, he's a great player in general. But, like,
and I think the Flyers actually could have drafted him if they really wanted to. And yeah. Guess who they took ahead of him?
Travis Sanheim.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But no, it was just, I mean, again, it was brutal. Like, it was like the scene in Revenge of the Sith when Palpatine announces, like, the rise of the Galactic Empire. And then, like, you hear Padme and she's like, "So this is how democracy dies with thunderous
this
applause.
This is how liberty dies."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, "So this is how the Flyers die? With thunderous applause from the other team." Like, I'm like, I was like distraught again. Like, I'm like, this is horrible. Like, I don't want this happening in a home arena. Like, we shouldn't be this bad.
Yet here we are.
But yeah, I was going to say, but here we are and it sucks. And it's been crazy. Just again, like another game where I'm just like, I'm literally baffled by the fact that there's just, again, it was like 60-40 Bruins Flyers fans. Like, it was insane. So,
yeah.
But back to Week in Review. Go ahead.
You know, so, I mean, the fans do that too. And even though in last night's victory was the last home game of the season, from pictures I saw on Twitter.com, the Wells Fargo Center was pretty barren last evening. But with that victory, the Flyers thus locked themselves into the seventh worst overall record in the NHL. Currently, mm-hmm. with 81 games played, they have a record of 30 wins, 38 losses, and 13 overtime/shootout losses. Good for 73 points. That's a .451 winning percentage. They had a negative 56 goal differential. They went 18-18-5. So NHL 500 at the Wells Fargo this season. They went 12-20-8 on the road. Who knows which record will improve or worsen? The road record will only improve or worsen tomorrow evening against the Blackhawks. Who knows? But yeah, this year, obviously, it's been not a fun one. A little bit brighter than the past couple seasons, because at least we now have a direction with Chuck Fletcher and Dave Scott both being kicking rocks. Dan Hilferty and company have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's removing the interim tag off of Danny Briere and naming him the full-time general manager and then getting in a competent president of hockey ops, and then a lot of moves they have to make. It seems like Tony DeAngelo has fallen very, very so much out of favor with John Tortorella. He has been scratched the last four games. And apparently all the beat writers are insinuating and talking amongst themselves. Again, this is coming from Twitter.com. I saw I believe this was from Bill Meltzer, that they all assume it's an internal matter because John Tortorella finally said that he, quote, talked to Tony, but he would not state the incident to the media. So I wonder who Tony got in a fight with this time. A player who the organization just spent money and draft capital to acquire looks like he's on his way out after just year one. Who could have saw this coming? Mm. So they have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of players who are not going to return on this team come next year, i.e. James Van Riemsdyk, Justin Braun, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Then you have some players who the organization clearly needs to move on from, one of them being Ivan Provorov. I know just a couple, like a month ago, I said, and almost 2 months ago, I said, even though you know, he's having his issues with his off-ice performance and his issues with, you know, his whole attitude and not believing everyone, not thinking that hockey is for everyone. I wish the Flyers should work past that and they could work a way to keep him, because I felt he was a person who we needed to keep and build around because I thought he was a good NHL defenseman. Well, even though he somehow won the Barry Ashby Award as the Flyers' best defenseman this year as voted by the team, his play really has taken a decline since I made those comments. And it's been reported by many, many beat writers, the biggest one being Charlie O'Connor, that both the Flyers and Provorov want a divorce. Like, Ivan Provorov apparently has told the team he wants out, and the Flyers want to move him. So that could potentially be a big trade. Look for that to happen at the draft, I would say. But another player you have to think is probably on his way out of here via a trade is Kevin Hayes. Clearly not a player who's in the keen eye of head coach John Tortorella, and also one that's really gone from Mr. Philadelphia, it seems, just when he first arrived here before COVID hit, to now being one of the more so not liked guys in at least the sect of Flyers Twitter. I personally have always been a Kevin Hayes fan. This is what I expected him to be when we got him. I never expected him to be a true number one, number two center. Mm-hmm. But he came in clutch at a lot of big times in some big games when the Flyers were competitive with him. But really this year, a lot of games more recently, you know, there have been comments made by the Flyers coaching staff of players that just seem disconnected and just disinterested when they're out there on the ice. And let me tell you what, Tony DeAngelo, Ivan Provorov, and Kevin Hayes all make that list in my eye from the games that I've seen towards the end of this season. So, you know, they're my big three that need to be moved this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you never know who else is going to get moved. But, you know, this is an important time. And whether it's Danny Briere at the helm or someone else, we are in some this is a key offseason for the future of this organization and where we're going to go from here.
Yeah.
They need to make other decisions, you know, on defense. Are they going to stick with, you know, if they move Provorov and if they move DeAngelo, are you staying with Ristolainen and Sanheim and then Cam York and Nick Seeler? Like, who else are you bringing into that fold? Are you having Emil Andre make the team? Are you making some other move to try and help that NHL core out? Is Igor Samula or Ronnie Attard taking a step forward next year? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of questions here. We obviously know Cutter Gauthier is going back to college next year for another year at Boston College. So he's out of the picture for now. But you hope that forwards like Travis Konecny and Owen Tippett and Joel Farabee and Bobby Brink, You know, we can what do they have more to sort of keep on giving to this organization, especially Bobby Brink, who missed all year except for just the last couple months with the Phantoms. But ever since returning to the Phantoms, he's been lights out, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he performs in the AHL playoffs. But, you know, what can they do next year going on for this team? The team's going to get much younger, I feel like. And next year, I feel as though we're not going to be good again next year. This isn't a retool like the offseason that we had in 2007, going into the 2007-2008 season. That's not going to be this. The Flyers are going to be bad next season, and they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and they're most likely going to pick top five yet again. So at least we all know this. We don't have our hopes up going into saying, oh, hey, maybe they'll be good next year. No, I fully expect the Flyers to be another year where they're kind of like this, where they're competitive, they're at least watchable, but they're not going to be anything worth writing home about. They're not going to be anything worthy of a playoff team. And frankly, they might get embarrassed a couple times. But that's what rebuilding teams go through. And you can hope that at the end of the rebuild, you have franchise elite level talent, and you're on the cups of, or you're on the cusp, the cups.
Yes.
or you're on the brink of winning championships.
There you go.
So, words are hard. Listen, it's Wednesday evening. It's gorgeous outside. Words are very difficult right now. But this is the first time in a couple of years where I'm ending our end of the season review episode kind of saying, no, the team's going to be bad next year. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the past couple of years I've said, you know what? They could be good next year.
Yeah.
I have zero expectations of a good hockey team. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that really kicks me in and I kind of ponder and question is, what are they going to do in future in goalie? Now, I personally don't want them to get rid of Carter Hart because I think he's a franchise-level goaltender. But I really hope that next season that Sarah Marison is his backup or at least his 1B. I don't see Felix Sandstrom sticking around. He is under contract for one more year next year. But I just see if the Flyers were to place him on waivers, they're probably going to lose him. So maybe he's involved in the trade this offseason. But after next year, Carter Hart's a restricted free agent. So is he going to want to stick around for a rebuild? And also, what's going to happen if he gets named as part of the people who took place in that incident with the 2018 Canada World Junior team?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of gray area there. But at least now going forward, we know there's a direction with the team. We're going to be rebuilding, and we're going to suck. But hopefully at the end of this, and this is a proper rebuild, not what Ron Hextall did. You know, this is a proper rebuild where they're going to miss the playoffs now for a couple seasons in a row, picking top in the draft. See where we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot. I'll try to follow that up as best I can.
I did say a lot.
No, it's all good. I mean, we both have a lot of those thoughts and feelings surrounding the team and the season and, you know, where things have been and where they are going or where they can go at least. But I think, kind of with that, I do agree with a lot of things you said, obviously mainly all of it. So I'll try to bring up a few different points here as well. But I think a thing that's been plaguing the team now for, I mean, probably what, the last decade, I'd say it's gotten worse, is special teams. The Flyers have the worst power play in the NHL, and they have the fifth worst penalty kill. They're ranked 26th in penalty kill. You don't win games if you can't score on the power play or if you just constantly get scored on the penalty kill. It's special teams are so important, especially down the stretch and in the playoffs. A man advantage is a man advantage, where it's literally has the word advantage in it. So you want to take advantage of that man advantage and score, and you want to have a good power play. You want to have a good, you see, it looks so easy for other teams. Like, I mean, again, the Bruins, where it's like Pasternak just kind of copycats Ovechkin, where he just hangs out in and around that left circle and just, you know, they find him open somehow. And either he rifles off a one-timer to the back of the net, or he finds someone on the side of the net for like a tap in. I mean, you don't really see that. I think, like, again, the power play the other day, there's the Flyers make 10, 12 passes. The crowd gets impatient. Everyone starts yelling, shoot. And then, I mean, let's see. Let's say it was almost like it was under Hackstall, where it's like someone just fires a shot from the perimeter and the goalie has no one in front of him. There's no traffic in front of the goalie. He sees it the whole time and just easily gloves it. And, like, you need, like, gone are the days where we had guys like Scott Hartnell, Wayne Simmons. I mean, JVR is a hollow shell of himself. Like,
he did get goal number 300 last night.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to him. But, like, again, I don't think he's going to be here next season. Sorry, Jim. But, I mean, you see guys, like, again, it's tough now with the cross-checking and all that stuff in front of the net. But guys are still allowed to jostle for position to a degree. So and you need to get bodies in front of the net to – you know, you get a carom off of a shin pad or a skate or a stick blade. Like, you figure they need to be better on both sides of the puck when it comes to special teams. So that's a big thing.
You got to battle in those hard areas.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, another glaring problem, too, is their entries into the offensive zone on power plays as well. Where
it's been a problem for over a decade.
Yeah, it's like if I had I've said this before, if I had a dollar for every time they ran the slingshot, I wouldn't have to work right now. Like, I'd be comfy, like, in a mountain house or on the beach. Like, just be like, yeah, like, oh, look at that. Like, the Flyers ran another slingshot. There's another dollar in my pocket. Like, and I'd just already be sitting on a mountain of cash. Like, so.
It's a proven, ineffective power play entry, but so many NHL teams trying to deploy it. And I'm like, this doesn't work. Like, how do fans realize the slingshot doesn't work, but NHL teams go, oh, try it. There's still a chance.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so there, I mean, there's a special teams problem, and then also there's that whole, there's no elite level talent on the team. Whereas, I mean, we're missing Cam Atkinson and Sean Couturier for the whole season. It's great to see guys like Owen Tippett. I mean, he's definitely my most improved, player.
Him and Morgan Frost really stood out this season.
Yeah. But again, he's a guy who might not be here next year. So, but, like, and again, it goes back to the whole Goudreau thing, where it's like you have that, like, that fairy tale script, so to speak, of a free agent who is like a local dude in the Delaware Valley region, like, again, went to school in New Jersey. Like, all signs were like, hey, this guy wants to come home.
He told the media.
Yeah.
His dad told ESPN they were waiting for the Flyers to offer him a deal.
Yep.
But it was too hard. It was too hard for Tuck Fletcher, you know?
Yeah. So, again, like, you don't have any of that elite-level talent where I hate, like, again, all these guys are better at hockey than I'll ever be, but there's so many guys on the Flyers where if they're on any other team, they're third liners,
maybe Konechny, even fourth. I mean, Konechny on an elite-level team, he's probably a second-line winger.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, Kevin Hayes, kind of a perfect example where it's like, he's not a first-line center.
No, he's a third-line center.
Yeah, like, even when he got signed here, I was like, does anyone really expect this dude to, like, go off for, like, 100 points a season? Like, his career high prior to that was, I think, 65 or something like that. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, he had Giroux and, like, he had a few other players and he had some prosperity here, but he can't be the guy, so to speak.
No.
Like, he's not good enough for that. And, I mean, again, I respect him as a player and as a person, but it's like, talent-wise, he's not, like, I mean, it's a no-brainer where it's like, oh, would you rather have Connor McDavid or Kevin Hayes as your first-line center? It's like, I mean, it'd be stupid not to pick McDavid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
I am glad, Matt, real quick, that you brought up Atkinson and Couturier. Because who knows what we're going to get out of those two players next year after missing an entire season.
Yeah.
Like, I know Sean Couturier is healthy and has been skating and wanted to return this year. The Flyers shut him down, which, thank God, they did the right thing for once. Prior to the injury, Sean Couturier was an elite defensive first-line center.
Yeah.
Is he still that player? That is a very very big question, because a lot of people don't think he's going to be anymore.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, there's a lot of questions surrounding the offseason, but there's good and there's bad, because we really don't know what's going to happen. We know what should happen and what needs to happen, but we can't, like, again, we don't have a crystal ball as much as we would want to. We can't just be like, oh, like, it's all going to be okay. We just got to wait another 3-4 years and they'll be hoisting Lord Stanley's cup.
We're 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's nice that there is a sense of direction now. There have been steps taken in the right way, but there's still a hell of a lot of work to be done, and we're nowhere near, quote-unquote, out of the woods with this, where, yes, this season was more entertaining than the past couple have been, because of the young players that have budded and Konechny having a career year. We had a good problem with goalies. Instead of using 8, we had at least 2 good ones in Hart and Erickson. Sandstrom was meh. Honestly, it was a pleasant surprise for me. Like, Nick Delorier has really grown on me. The contract hasn't, but as a player, I mean, the dude is a bad man. Like,
yeah.
He's
a good fourth line forward. He's just overpaid.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And has a no trade clause when he shouldn't have one.
I mean, again, I know, like, his style of play is quote unquote a dying breed in this day and age, but he's done, as far as I'm concerned, he's done what he needs to do, and even gets on the score sheet every so often. So, I mean, I'm always going to go to bat for the fourth line guys, because that's how I was in my hockey career. There's been a lot of positives, but there's still a lot of negatives, and it's how those negatives are dealt with that is truly going to dictate the direction that this team moves going forward.
Yeah, and hopefully one of those first positives, Matt, will be announced, I believe, early May, is it, the draft lottery this year?
May 8th.
Hopefully on May 8th, the Flyers will get some perhaps excellent luck from the hockey gods and be awarded that first overall draft choice or something within the top 5. You know, but even the draft this year is so deep from what all the scouts are saying that if there are players who are taken in last year's draft in the first round, in this year's draft, they would be a late second round, early third round draft pick. So there's apparently this draft is super, super loaded. So I'm excited. I mean, there's a lot of good players. Some have question marks being in the Russian Michkov with his, you know, dad being found, you know, dead, and Putin apparently going to be making military service mandatory for his unethical and illegal war in Ukraine right now. So if I'm the Flyers, I'm staying way, way away from Michkov in the draft because he's just not the uncertainty.
I mean, but probably the sentiment of a lot of teams.
Yeah, but I mean, hopefully, man, if please. Connor Bedard would be awesome, but again, they're finishing seventh worst, which means they're going to have the highest odds for the seventh overall pick. That's still a good hockey player. That's where we drafted Sean Couturier, with seventh overall in his draft year. You know, you can get a really, really, really good hockey player seventh overall. So if they stay at 7, cool. If they move up, great. If they move down a couple spots, I think the farthest they can move down is 2 or 3 spots. So if they go down 3 spots that has them picking 10th overall, that's still a good hockey player. Just got to pick the right one.
Yeah, sorry. I was drinking some water there. Oh.
It's like, got to hydrate.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's like, I have expectations, but I don't have any at the same time because I want to be – I'd rather be pleasantly surprised by something little or obviously something big. But, I mean, again, like you said, we know that this offseason is truly a key offseason to determine where this team does go down the road here. This season, again, I think – truly kind of made the organization look itself in the mirror and realize, like, oh, damn, things have gotten very bad where, I mean, we're losing season ticket holders that have been here for X amount of years, or people aren't coming to games, or, like, I think the whole, like, quote-unquote going corporate thing has not helped the on-ice product, where, again, I've said the same thing before as well, where I don't care about the fact that I can go to the Wells Fargo Center and enjoy a 4-star meal at, like, in the club suite. I mean, A, I can't afford that, and B, like, why, like, I want to sit, again, like, I want to be, quote-unquote, with the people, go to, like, go to the concession stand down the hall, get a Miller Lite, no free ads. Like, if I'm feeling like I want to spend money, I'll get, like, a sandwich or, like, something like that. But it's, like, I'm a simple man. All I need is just good hockey in the Wells Fargo Center. I could care less if the Flyers were playing in a barn, a literal barn. But if the game was entertaining and the team was good, I'm all for it. And I think that's the sentiment for every common hockey fan, so to speak, where we don't need all the glitz and the glam and, hey, come check out where you can break a plate in the Wells Fargo Center. Like, I could just as well go home and break one of my plates and not pay an extra, like, I don't know, $45 to do that at the arena. Like, it's just, again, all these gimmicks and all, like, the showmanship. Like, I get you want to make it an experience to go to a Flyers game or at an event at the Wells Fargo Center, but honestly, I feel like everyone just sees right through all that now. And it's, like, it's stale. It's, like, almost, like, infuriating to a degree where it's, like, I don't know, like, I'm just, again, it's just sad where it's, like, you have the, I think his name is Everett, who, like, tries to get the crowd into it beforehand with, like, the help me count it down to lights out, and it's, like, no one's really into it at that point. And then
going to the Wells Fargo Center has become, it's become very gimmicky.
Yeah, and like, again, I miss, like, again, I know, it's, I don't even think it has to do with the Broad Street Bullies era, but it's, like, I miss the days when it's, like, you have, like, Metallica in the background of a Flyers opening video. Like, none of this whole, like, oh, like, it's, like, it's gritty dancing in an elevator. Like, it's him, like, I mean, again, every team, I think, wants to be the Vegas Golden Knights now, where you want to have that spectacle along with the game, and every team has, like, that projector on the ice where, like, Gritty comes out and he tries to plant the flag over the other team's logo so that the quote-unquote the ice breaks. It's like, all right, like, honestly, give me a montage of Flyers hits, goals, like, Jim Jackson calls.
And some heavy metal.
Some heavy metal or some sort of, like, cool-ass rendition.
Maybe
of,
Dreams and Nightmares.
Yeah, like, honestly, just keep it simple. Like, it's, you have a cool, like, you have a cool-ass scoreboard that shoots fire out of it. Like, and also, too, it's, like, I don't know if they're trying to be mindful of people's hearing or anything like that, but it's, like, excuse my language here, but blare that shit. Like, this is hockey. Like, I want to get into it where, like, I don't want to feel like, oh, I have to turn the volume down because it might be too loud. It's, like, if it's too loud, then plug your ears. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if, like, I hope to one day have a kid, and if I bring my kid to the Wells Fargo Center, I want to be that dad that has the headphones on the kid because it's too loud. Like, I mean, it's probably too loud as it is now for an infant, but still, it's like, I want to be like, yo, like, when I took you to your first Flyers game, like, they had Metallica going, like, it was rocking in there, and, like, I'm just, like, you're in, like, the little holder thing in front of me with your headphones on. Like, that would be a great story to tell. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but, like, again, I know this really doesn't have to do with the season, so to speak, but it has to do with the team and the organization, where it's, like, enough with the gimmicks. Like, Philly fans are Philly fans, where if a team tries to do something cute or fun in the midst of, like, a losing streak, They just come right back at you. It was the same as last year, where like the Flyers would get spanked like 7-1, and then next thing you know, they're tweeting out the next day like,
"Gritty six,
download this video game where you can play gritty and play as gritty and throw cakes at people." It's like, you guys just got embarrassed. Like, what makes you think I want to play that game? Like,
Or they say
they try to distract you. It's like getting distracted from like a car fire where it's like, "Hey, here's gritty." And it's like, okay, cool. Like, you just kind of, you move your head and you just look at it again. Like, again, even I was getting pissed off at gritty. But yeah, I don't know. Again, I think there needs to be changes, whether it's like, I mean, we've seen the front office one so far. We know that's happening. I don't know if the quote unquote the business side of it will change, because I think, again, as long as Comcast gets the butts in seats, they don't really care.
Well, I did see an article. I did not read the article, but I saw the article that was in the Inquirer, on where whoever wrote it mentioned how, according to Dan Hilferty, Bobby Clark, Paul Holmgren, they're not going to have as much as a say going forward anymore.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's the proper thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just think, I don't know if they obviously they had the town hall where Fletcher got booed, but it's like, I feel like it would be productive to have a town hall with just, quote-unquote regular fans, where it's like, what do you want to experience, or what can make your experience better at the Wells Fargo Center? Like, instead of the whole everything is an ad sort of thing, like, what can we do during intermissions, around, like, Because this is happening in all of sports, where the common person and the common family are all just completely getting priced out of going to see a sporting event live. Like, if you want to take a family of four to a game, you easily could spend up to $500. Like, it's wild. So I think that's a bigger issue than just the Flyers, obviously, but I'm just kind of like pinpointing the Wells Fargo Center, obviously. But no, I mean, again, I just hope that there are concrete changes, like sweepingly, if that's a word, throughout the organization, whether it's the business side, the marketing side, obviously the team itself. Like, there needs to be big changes in the fact that the Flyers can get back to being the proud organization that they should be, instead of what they currently are.
Yes.
And that is my TED Talk.
Yes. Perfect. Well, we can segue right into that, Matt. There's really nothing much more to say about the Flyers going forward. I mean, yeah, they do have their last game tomorrow evening. For those who are listening tomorrow, that would be Thursday, April 13th, 8:30 p.m. in Chicago against the Blackhawks. Win or lose, who really gives a shit at this point?
we still care about this team, obviously, because we wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't. We're ride or die, so to speak, where even in the darkest of times, I mean, we joke about complaining about how bad they are, how much of a dumpster fire it can be. But I mean, we are and we want to be more passionate about this team, but it's just so hard to be passionate when the organization is the way it is and you feel at times hopeless about it ever being corrected.
It would be nice to be doing this podcast after they won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, I mean, not going to lie, we'd probably both be, like, celebrating it right there with them, where we'd be, like, hammering beers and, like,
we'd be going live on social media, like, whatever apps exist, being like, we're drunk.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully we get that one day sooner than later. But, for now, we have to just, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, so to speak. And, we are toughing it out along with our other fellow Flyers podcasts that are out there, like our boys at the Pod Street Bullies. Flyers 2022-2023 regular season. I won't say good riddance, but I'll say it's been nice to know you, and hope I don't see you again.
Yeah, kick rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching some playoff hockey having zero skin in the game and just being like, ah, this is why I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah.
But with that, Matt, we can briefly get into our two light topics around the league this evening.
Yeah, definitely. So just two quickies for everyone tonight, both having to do with the number 1,000. First off, we had Steven Stamkos celebrating his 1,000th NHL game with a special ceremony before their game against the Toronto Maple Leafs at Amalie Arena last night. Stamkos was joined by his wife, Sandra, his two sons, Carter and Chase, and his parents, Chris and Leslie, on the ice for the ceremony. The Lightning captain played in his 1,000th game against the New York Islanders back on April 6th. Obviously, I guess they were away since then. And has become the second player to achieve that accomplishment behind former teammate Vinny LeCavalier. Stamkos also received a custom Rolex watch from his teammates and a commemorative Tiffany crystal from Lightning owner Jeffrey Vinnick. LeCavalier also presented Stamkos with the good old commemorative silver stick as well. So, Stamkos is obviously a no-brainer Hall of Famer after his time with the Lightning, his couple Stanley Cups, and just, I mean, again, his stats and all that jazz. But, yeah, and again, earlier this year, this is actually his third milestone just this season. Earlier this year, he had his 500th NHL goal along with his 1,000th career point as well. So just another, another feather in the cap. I was almost going to say tip of the cap. Another feather in the cap for Steven Stamkos in an illustrious career.
One of my all-time favorite hockey players, non, on the Philadelphia Flyers, he battled some adversity there for a couple years. With a pretty severe broken leg, didn't know whether he was going to be the same player again. And he's come back and he's captained the Lightning to, back-to-back Stanley Cups there a couple years ago. And they're a competitive team and they're in the mix this season yet again. And he is leading the charge. So love Stammer. Congratulations on 1K. And, think in 1 year, hit your 500th goal, 1,000th point in 1,000th game in one season. That's pretty special. And you combine all that with his two cups and what he's done scoring 60 goals in the past before, you have to think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And then keeping with the 1,000 theme and to end our podcast in a bittersweet way for the regular season here with the Flyers, our former king, Claude Giroux, achieved his 1,000th career point on Monday night with a pair of goals and an assist in a 3-2 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. Giroux became the 96th player to achieve the milestone. He was interviewed, I believe, after the game and said, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of family here right now, so it's special, and my wife and my two boys are here and my parents, and it was really cool. The 35-year-old former Flyer entered the game needing 2 points to hit the momentous marker, and it took less than a period to make it happen. I mean, he's Claude Giroux. Obviously, that's how it's going to be.
Yes.
But he picked up point number 999 with his 33rd goal of the season just after the five-minute mark, and number 1,000 came on an assist when he set up Tim Stützle with under 3 minutes remaining in the period. Captain Brady Tkachuk had a secondary assist on the play and motioned to his teammates to join him on the ice to celebrate the moment. This is all according also to CBS Philadelphia. But Giroux also said, just trying to keep my emotions intact. And, I knew it was going to happen, that they were going to come all on the ice. But to actually happen, it was definitely a little different, but it was special. So let's see. He also scored his second goal of the night midway through the third to give Ottawa a 3-2 lead and the win, tying his career high of 34 set in 2017-2018. It's always great to see. It's always bittersweet, not great, to see ex-Flyers achieving these things with other teams, especially achieving Stanley Cups, i.e. Kimmo Timonen with the Blackhawks, which is still weird to say. but... I mean, Giroux, again, is always going to be a Flyer in my eyes, but it is good to see him flourish in his second half of his career, so to speak, where he is, I mean, again, he's home in Ottawa, literally, So he is playing in front of his hometown fans, playing for his hometown team, so to speak. And, I mean, the Senators are poised to be a better team every season now, I think, with the experience that they have and with the young talent that they have, with the veteran talent that they have. They have their own problems. So if you want the in-depth look at the Senators, listen to a Senators podcast. We'll give you that. We'll give you that next season. But, no, I mean, it's just great to see a guy like Giroux, you know, just continue to thrive. And just it makes you miss the days again, even though they were pretty recent. You miss the days that he wore the orange and black.
Yeah, it was, Matt. It was very bittersweet. And it also made me angry for a second. Like, I'm very proud of Claude Giroux. And I retweeted Nasty Knuckles, posted the video. And I, of course, quote tweeted it with, "Oh, Captain, my Captain." He will forever be my second all-time favorite Philadelphia Flyer behind Eric Lindros.
Mm-hmm.
Glad I got to see him play his 1,000th game last year before being traded to the Panthers. I still hate saying that out loud.
Yeah.
But at least I got to see that in person. But I wish we did get Tippett out of it. So that is a slight positive. I wish, though, that Giroux could have scored his 1,000th point in the orange and black. It just felt wrong watching him do it for another team.
Yeah.
And it just makes me even more angry at the Flyers and at Chuck Fletcher, because it's even been Giroux's wife posted on it and replied to an Instagram question. She said, you know, they contacted the Flyers because he wanted to sign here in the offseason, and the Flyers didn't offer him a contract.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is, I guess, at this point. And I mean, it's kind of a good thing he's not here, because we weren't going to give him the chance to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And he's gone to Ottawa, a team that needs him. And where he's essentially, even though Brady Tkachuk is the captain there, he's their alternate captain, but might as well have a little bit more weight on his jersey than a normal assistant captain would. They're poised. They're a poised young team who I think is about to start. Like, they just missed the playoffs this year. I think they make it next year. And Giroux, at the age of 35, is still showing to all of his haters that he can do it, and he's still a legitimate top six NHL forward. And guess what? He played mostly center this year for the Senators, and he still tied his career high in goals, and he had almost 90 points. He just never breaks down. He is old reliable. So congrats to G on 1,000 points. Wish he did it in Origin Black, but very happy, very proud, and I am confident in saying that his number will be retired by the Flyers whenever he does retire.
Yeah, agreed. So, you know, again, congratulations to Giroux and also Stamkos on their milestones. And Dave, I mean, just looking ahead here, obviously the Flyers have their last game tomorrow night in Chicago. Not even really going to give a prediction for that, because I'm indifferent to the result at this point. But no, I mean, I think, again, we're in our transition now, where the next episode, I believe, will be our playoff preview.
Yes.
So stick around for that in the next week, obviously. And
we will give we will give our first round predictions as well. Might as well just do what we did last year, and predict who we each think is going to advance and win the Stanley Cup, and see how close we are.
Yeah. So
my bracket was right last year. That's all I know.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, it's always a weird feeling when the season does end, but I think it's also a good one at this point that it does end, because now this means that there's room for growth and there's room for change.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, it's obviously, it's exciting to watch playoff hockey regardless, but it's always more fun when you do have a dog in the fight, because as much of a range of emotions it does bring, it's just, again, that excitement surrounding it all is always the best. So I am confident there will be playoff hockey in the city of Philadelphia someday, once again. Maybe not soon, sadly, but one day there will be playoff hockey in the Wells Fargo Center once again. But for now, you know, we know where we stand, and there is a clearer idea of where this organization needs to go, and it's up to them if they can get themselves there. Us, the fans, can, you know, bitch and moan and whatever we want to do and all we want, but, you know, I mean, it's up to the organization to realize how bad they've gotten, how poorly they've handled things over the past few years, and it's up to them to dig themselves out of that hole as well. So there's some more clarity to that direction, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
A lot of work indeed, Matt. Well said. A nice ending monologue.
Oh,
this week's podcast. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
But now, of course, as always, I'll give my weekly spiel. If you listen to us and you like our podcast, make sure you're listening to the same boys over in the Pod Street Boys, putting out weekly content. As always, a great follow. If you like us, you'll like them. Check out the Pod Street Boys. They are wonderful affiliates. But with that, Mastro, that calls it quits for this week's podcast. We will be back next week with our Stanley Cup preview, a Stanley Cup playoffs preview episode. There we go. We will be giving our first round picks as well as our bracket challenge picks and who we think will win the cup this year.
Yep.
Let's see if we have different picks this time around, because last year we were pretty similar except for a couple teams. But
I might just say screw it and just pick a bunch of random stuff.
And we'll see what you could be right.
Maybe I'll
you
do like the Siri coin flip for each round, and then I'll heads do that. I'll do one of those, and then I'll do an actual like what I think bracket. So we'll see.
I mean, there's some interesting things. There's still the West is set up in the Eastern Conference. It's going to come down between the New York Islanders or the Pittsburgh Penguins getting the final wild card seed. Come on, Islanders. Would love to watch Pittsburgh and Hextall not make it. But
so the Islanders are actually winning 3-2 going into the third period right now.
I wonder if they win, do they clinch?
Yeah, so if they win at all, they clinch. But if they also clinch if they lose in a shootout or in overtime.
That's fantastic.
So they pretty much clinch if they make
it. As long as they don't lose in regulation, they clinch.
Yes.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
I'm pretty sure.
Suck on it, Pittsburgh Penguin fans. Yeah, you had your time, son. Join us Flyers fans in the pit of misery.
Yeah, so the one thing on NHL.com says if the Islanders lose in regulation on Wednesday tonight, that would lead to a win and in scenario for Pittsburgh on Thursday, and the Islanders would then be eliminated. But if they win in regulation or in any fashion, then they're in. So
they're in, the Penguins are out. Come on, Islanders.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the Flyers regular season, you know, just 21 gun salute, Viking funeral, shoot into the sun. Whenever you feel appropriate with, you know, putting it to rest and remembering it how you see fit, all that jazz. But no, I mean, it is the end of the season, the end of the road for the Flyers as of now. And
that was for the Flyers.
There we go. So,
we'll get some chuckles out of that.
a proper send-off for the Flyers regular season. Salute.
Yes. So with that, everyone, I think it's time to cut it before we get too off the rails here. But with that, everyone, good night, good hockey, good riddance, Philadelphia Flyers, for one more year. God damn it. I'll see you next year.